Good morning. Today's scripture is Psalm 6. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fall because of all my foes. Away from me, all of you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So before we begin the sermon this morning, I want to let you know we're doing a new sermon series called Psalms, the Language of Life. And we're really trying to dive into the Psalms, to look at all the different types, and find out where the Psalms give us places and language to interact with God. So Denise Tomkowski-Hopkins is a professor at Wesley Seminary, and you might have noticed we're trying to do some of these Wesley Seminary series. She's starting this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. For 3 weeks, she's going to dive deeper into the Psalms. I honestly don't believe that we could offer you a better person probably in the whole country who knows the Psalms and who has studied them more than Denise Hopkins. She will take you deep into the Psalms. Frankly, she's probably one of the most energetic people that I've ever met, so it will not be boring. She will bring you great energy. So I invite you to come out for that. Sign up if you can. It helps us in case something happens and we need to send out a notification if she's ill or something and can't be there. This book, Journey Through the Psalms, she wrote probably about 25 years ago, but she's edited it several times. It has helped me in thinking about the sermon today. It has helped me in really understanding the Psalms. So if you want to dive deeper into the Psalms, if you want to look at why they're written, the structure of them, what they contain, this is a really useful tool, Journey Through the Psalms. If you forget the title of it, they've got something out at the connection point that'll tell you about it. So with that, I wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Almighty God, we are so grateful this morning for your word. We're grateful that you are a God who loves us so much and desires to be in relationship with us, that we can have real conversation with you. So I pray today that as I share this word, that you would be with me, that you would speak through me, that you would be with all of us, and give us ears to hear today what you want us to hear and minds to understand, that our hearts might be open to transformation this day. Amen. So the Psalms, just to give you a little bit of background, are prayers or poetry that eventually became the hymns of the Israelites. They were the words that they could sing out that shared their faith. You know, when we sing hymns in worship, when we say songs, they're really helpful, which is why it's helpful for children to be in choirs, because they help us express and understand and learn our faith. And that's what the Psalms did. They were opportunities for them to offer psalms of thanksgiving, psalms of praise, royal psalms, and then the forgotten psalms. The ones that we don't talk about very much. In fact, in the church, they're rarely talked about in the global church. And those are the psalms of laments. They're psalms that actually, they're the largest number of the 150 psalms. They're the largest number of them. Psalms of laments, which are psalms of anger, psalms of frustration, psalms of anguish with God. Psalms that I think when many of us read them, we go, we're just going to pass by that one and go on, because they're psalms that I think sometimes make us uncomfortable. But they're psalms that help us when we're in periods of disorientation, when things are going on in our life that we don't understand, when things are going on in our life that really put us in a place of deep confusion. The Psalms of Laments are really helpful. So we're going to talk this morning about what's in bounds with God and what's out of bounds. What's okay to say to God? We know it's okay to offer God praise. We know it's okay to offer God thanksgiving, even supplication and petition. Right? That's what we're taught. Offer God that praise, thanksgiving, supplication, and petition. But is it okay when you're angry with God to say that? Is it okay to be angry, to offer frustration, Is it okay to be in deep anguish with God and share that? Many people in the church, and I'm not saying in this church, I'm saying in the global church, suggest that if you have anger or frustration or anything but praise and thanksgiving for God, then it is due to a lack of faith. You don't have a deep faith if you're going to say that to God. It must not be real for you if you're going to say that to God. So we're going to wrestle with that this morning. We're going to wrestle with that with Psalm 6, which is just a small representation of the greater number of laments that are in the Psalms. This past week, Hurricane Sandy hit. And Hurricane Sandy threw us into disorientation, and it barely did anything here. But think about what Hurricane Sandy did to folks in the Northeast, especially in New Jersey, in New York. I want you to picture something for a moment. A lady works in a diner. She finally gets to the place where she can see the diner that provides all of her income, the place where she waits tables, and she shows up, and this is what it looks like. The windows are out. The tables that she used to wait are now floating around. And she realizes that if this is ever repaired, if it's ever taken care of, it will take months. And this is her main source of income. Then she makes her way home. And she realizes that her home, which she couldn't find out about until she could get there, is in incredible disarray. The windows are broken, the doorway is jagged. And she decides that the only thing that she can do, that's appropriate that water is coming right now, I suppose. The only thing that she can do, thank you, the only response that she can have is to grab a trash bag, to go inside the house and start cleaning up. She's got to do something. She can't just stand there and look at her house. So she goes in and she grabs a black trash bag. And she starts to put things in it. And she comes across a photo album. In this photo album, there's a picture, a black and white photo of her parents, one of the few that she has left. And she looks at it and it's destroyed. And as she goes to put it in the black trash bag, she reaches around her neck and she grabs the cross that she wears. She's a woman of faith. And she grabs the cross and she holds it. And the sense that she's having right now is not, thank you, God, for protecting me. The sense that she has as she's holding this cross is, how could this happen to me? Why am I having to go through this pain? Why am I having to deal with this? Now, she could say something like, well, when God closes a door, God opens a window. Right? That could be a response. And that's a response that a lot of people will try to give to you. But that's not what she's feeling. What she's feeling is anger and frustration because this happened to her. And the question of this morning is that okay? Is it in bounds for her to be angry with God about this? In our culture, friends, we can control many things. You know, I am a planner. I like to try to dot all the I's, cross all the T's, plan the whole schedule. But there are things that are outside of our control. Weather is outside of our control. And as it comes through, it disorients us. We need language around moments of disorientation, around moments of tragedy. We need language of how to interact with God. We need something that's real, not something that tells us, that will placate us. But we need something that's real so that we can get those emotions out. So often these psalms that we call the laments ask a question, and that question is, why me? Why am I dealing with this? The psalmist this morning changes that and reframes that a little bit and says, how long? In fact, the psalmist says that twice. How long, O Lord? How long? How long must I deal with this pain? How long must I deal with this calamity? How long must I deal with this problem? Now, I've heard this question asked many times, actually. As I sit with folks who have lost a loved one, they say, why did this happen? Perhaps I did something. Perhaps I didn't love my loved one like I should have. Or I did a funeral for someone recently where I didn't happen to know her, but it was a family member of somebody in our church. And when I sat down with them, they told me that she loved to read. It was one of her favorite things to do. She didn't watch the television, but she read. And about 10 years or so before she died, she started to lose her eyesight. And it completely left her. And they almost, and they didn't say it, like they were in trouble, but they almost sheepishly said, and sometimes she said to God, why me? Why did this happen to me? See, we live in a culture and a society which says that actions have consequences. So when we receive a consequence, it is almost our first nature to go, what did I do? Why did this happen to me? Perhaps you're somebody who maybe somebody doesn't go to their job. They don't show up or they're underperforming and they get fired. That makes sense, right? But what about the person who goes to work every single solitary day, gives extra hours, works really hard, does great work, and gets laid off because of the company's finances? See, their question becomes, why me? Why do I have to deal with this thing? Why am I challenged with this difficulty? They might say, you might say, I follow the rules. I'm a good Christian. I go to church, I'm in a small group, I read the Bible, I pray, I tithe, I give money. Why does this happen to me? And this, friends, is the question that the psalmist is wrestling with this morning. God, why am I dealing with this? So let's go look at this. Verses 1 through 3. There's a little bit of indignation in this, right? Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. But have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? I mean, this guy's in trouble. The psalmist is in pain, and he turns to God, and it's as if God is the source of some of that pain, right? Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. But we find out later, not only is God the source, God is the only solution. Right, he comes. And as a child, I don't know if you all use this phrase, but as a child, when we'd go outside and it was really cold, we'd say we were cold down to our bones, right? Which meant essentially the core of who we were was freezing. And he says here, heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. Down to the core of who I am in pain. I am struggling, God. And how long, Lord, how long must I endure this pain? See, I don't think what the psalmist does, the laments, I don't think it says everybody should get angry with God. Go and get angry with God. That's not what I think it's saying. I think what the laments say is if you're angry with God, be real about it. Share it. Don't hide from it. Because guess what? God can handle it. If you're frustrated with God, tell him. If you're dealing with a painful thing and you're angry, name it. In her book, Dr. Hopkins says, because many churches use the lectionary, which is something that tells them what scriptures to use each Sunday. Catholic Church uses it. Many Protestant churches use it too. We don't use it here at Flores, but many churches use it. And in the lectionary, we often skip over the laments. We don't use them as much, these cries out for pain. And Dr. Hopkins says that many people in the church, when they first find out that the laments even exist, they're almost embarrassed for the psalmist. I can't believe those are in the Psalms, in the Bible. Is that okay that they've said that? Is it out of bounds? I mean, read some of these laments. Go home today, Google laments, Psalm laments, and read some of them. I mean, you might read some of them and say, can we really say that to God? Can we really name that? I think our issue is that we have sometimes a distorted relationship with God. Meaning, take for example, you happen to be in England, and you're at a dinner hosted by the Queen. And the Queen comes up, and the Queen wants to engage you for some reason. I don't know how you got lucky and singled out, but the Queen wants to say something to you. And she comes up and she says the question that many people ask in our lives that we don't give a real answer to. She says, how are you? And you might be dealing with pain and tragedy. There might be a terrible reason why you're in England. You don't know. There could be some awful thing, but because she is royalty and because you frankly don't believe that she cares, you simply answer, fine. Nicky Gumbel is a pastor in a church in England. I lead the Alpha course, and he does some of the videos. He does the videos for that. And Nicky Gumbel tells a story where he reads this headline from the newspaper that says, God has left the Church of England. And then he goes in the interview, asks people what they think about that. And some people say, it's kind of bad. We're a little bothered by the fact that God has left the church. I mean, it's sort of a blow, but we think we'll be okay. I mean, real responses that people are giving to this. Now, I'm not trying to knock the Church of England. This is an article that he read. And I believe what happens sometimes in our lives, I believe what happens is that we develop such a distant relationship with the reality of God that we don't feel like we can come and be honest with God. That we come to church and we go home and we pray, but we don't believe that we have that deep sense of relationship with God where we can say the hard things and the real things. And here's the challenge. If you can't say it to God, when we've been given permission, if we can't say it to God, how can we be real with one another in community? How many times, and this is not a raise of hand, this is something to think about, has somebody asked you that very question, how are you? And your answer has simply been, fine, when you're not fine at all. Or we're good. You know, we're doing okay when you're not okay at all. See, friends, what's at stake here? Is community. What's at stake here is our relationships. So we've been praying for a few weeks for Rose Jones. Rob and Rose are friends of mine and Susan's. Rob and I went to college together. Rose has recently found out that she has a tumor. And what many of you may not know if you don't know Rose is they have four daughters, and the oldest is seven, and their youngest are twins. So, needless to say, after talking with Rose, she has identified that this has thrown her into disorientation. This has caused anxiety in their family. And Rose has started a blog. And it's really interesting because Rose is very intentional about the words that she uses. The name of her blog is called Inside Rose's Head. And it's about the tumor. And I want to read to you one of her earliest entries because she writes her own lament here. She says, after more than 6 months of medical appointments, five different doctors and multiple medications and tests, the unwanted guest was identified. I have a brain tumor. I'm sure Toomey has been there long before May, but if I had not slammed the car door on my head, and what she's referring to here is they were on a trip and they were traveling, and she accidentally slammed the trunk on her head as she was putting stuff in the van, and it started to cause neck pain, which sent her to the doctor to go and start having some tests. She says, but if I had not slammed the car door on my head, we may not have found him before real damage had been done. The last 6 months, and listen to her language here specifically, have been frustrating, painful, and almost convinced me that I was crazy. But today, we were praising God for slamming the car door on my head, for placing doctors in my path who were thorough and don't give up on their patients, and for showing us the unwanted guests so that we can start the process of eviction. See, Rose is lamenting. She very intentionally uses the language that it was frustrating, painful, and almost convinced her that she was crazy. She's in deep anguish. She's crying out. And I bet that all of us around this room would say that she has a right to feel everything that she's feeling. Every single one of us. Friends, this wasn't in their 5-year plan. This wasn't what they were thinking about as they looked forward to the future. They don't know the outcome yet. She's having surgery this week. They're hopeful. But even in the midst of the challenge, as she has cried out to God in frustration and anger, she is also able on the other side to see where God has been in the midst of this. She's been able to see where God has been in the midst of her challenges. I think this is where the psalmist is today. He says he's so sad. We're not going to look at the verses in between 3 and 8. But he says he's so sad that his bed is floating in his tears. Do you get that image? I mean, literally, this guy's just crying all the time. He's in such pain and such agony. Every ounce of him is hurting. That his bed is just floating in tears. But then let's read verse 8. Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy, and the Lord accepts my prayer. So all is well, right? He clearly has been healed because he said God has heard his prayer. God has come and taken care of him, so everything must be good. Here's the problem. The problem is we don't know what happens in the white space between verse 7 and verse 8, right? We see in verse 7, he is in such anguish that his bed is floating from his tears. And then all of a sudden, verse 8, the Lord has heard my weeping. All is well. And we could jump to, well, it just must mean that it wasn't real if he that quickly changed. But I want to sit in the white space for just a moment here, because I've watched people in this congregation walk through the white space. I've watched people in this congregation go from, I am frustrated with God about this situation that I'm dealing with. It is hard, and I can't believe that it happened to my family. To going through the white space and coming out on the other side and praising God. And I've walked with them through this white space right here. I've walked beside them, and I can't tell you exactly what happened. I can't tell you exactly what happened in the white space. I can tell you that there was healing that happened in their soul, in their relationship with God, that there was depth that happened. But there's no prescription for what happens in the white space. But here's what I can tell you. They're on this side of it. They're angry and they're frustrated with God. They go through the white space. They come out on the other side. And guess what? God is still with them. Through the challenge, through the white space, and to the praise. Because they have real relationship with God, and because they've been honest, and because they've cried out in anger, God does not smite them or turn away from them. Yet God is still with them, and their relationship with God has deepened as they've moved through that space. From a very young age, people tell us that that you can't be angry, right? You can't cry out. My wife is much better at this than I am, but with the kids in the grocery store, if one of them's angry, means they're yelling or screaming, I'm instantly giving them something to stop it, right? I can't handle people looking at me in the grocery store with my children screaming. But we, from a very young age, we say that emotion is not okay. But why not? As the church, should we not, as Christians, allow people to mourn, to grieve, and to deal with the difficulties of life in their own way? That's what God allows the psalmist to do in the laments. God allows them to vent, share their frustrations and deep anguish, and then get to the point where they realize that they are deeply loved by God. See, the goal of the psalmist, the lament psalmist, is not to push God away in anger. Well, quite the contrary. The goal of the psalmist in being honest with God in relationship and anger is so that the psalmist might come closer to God. The psalmist has a deep need for God. I think, too, that our non-Christian friends in the world need to hear when we're frustrated with God, when we're honest with God, because I think sometimes non-Christians think that Christians think their life is all perfect and all is good, and inside the church we're all protected, but that's not the reality as I look around this room. And when we tell them we're frustrated or we're angry with God, they sense that there's actually a real relationship there. Because those are the emotions that they experience with other people in their lives. A quick story about a teenage boy. He was a senior in high school. Everything was going awesome for him. He was a jock. He was doing really well in school. He had a lot of friends. Everybody liked him. One day he gets a call. He's not a Christian, by the way. One day he gets a call from his mom. He says, hey, your sister's been in a terrible car accident. She's in the hospital. He rushes over to the hospital, and after they've done test after test after test, the doctor comes in to talk to the family. And they say, it is unlikely that she will live. And if she does, it's unlikely that she'll ever have brain function. It's unlikely that her brain will recover from this. And his instant response was not to pray to God, please heal her. He didn't have a relationship with God. But his instant response was to say, God, I don't know if you're there or not, but I'm angry with you. I'm upset that you let this happen to my sister, if you're real. I mean, people at school who try to talk to me about you, they try to tell me that you're good and you take care of everybody. But God, that's not what I sense. And he really wrestled with this for days. And he was angry and frustrated with God for days. Until one day, he looked around the room and all of his family is sitting in the hospital room. And he had this moment where he actually experienced God in the midst of his family members. And he sat there and he looked at each one of them and he thought about the blessing that each one of them was to his life and the gift that each person was. Now, the rest of the story goes on. He doesn't spend much time at this in his book, but it goes on to say that his sister actually did come out of it with a lot of healing and a lot of therapy. She came out of it. But that's not what he focuses on. He then went on to become a Christian. He went on to give his life to Christ, to develop his faith, and he went on to help other students who were dealing with tragedy in their lives. But see, it was because he could come to God and be real with God and yet still experience God that it made God real for him. So I want to encourage you to do something this week. I want to encourage you to be real with God. Whatever that realness looks like for you, I'm not trying to prescribe what that looks like for you. But be real with God, friends, because yes, God can handle it. God wants that real relationship with us. God wants us to interact with him in such a way that it's not just what we think God wants to hear, but it's what we're actually sensing and what we're actually feeling. Again, if you don't know what to say, go to the laments. If that's something that you're struggling with, if you're frustrated with, I want you this week, if you have a journal, I don't know how many of you journal, but if you have a journal, if you don't have one, you can go pick one up or write on paper or do whatever works for you. You can blog. I want you to actually start thinking about your relationship with God. I want you to start thinking about the way that you can engage God with language and with words. And I want you to answer two questions or write about two things this week. Here's the first one. What makes you cry out to God? What I mean by that is, what makes you, what individual pain do you have that's calling you to say, God, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with this. Is it injustice? Is it worry? Is it personal pain? Is it pain that you have with a friendship or with a relationship? How does it make you feel? Write about that. You can write these down in your bulletin if you want. There's pencils in your pews. And here's the second one. Maybe there's somebody that's in your family or a coworker or somebody that you know who's really struggling right now. And you want to cry out on their behalf. You want to say, God, I don't understand why this is happening to them. Or maybe you just want to write out a prayer of supplication for them. I invite you to do that this week. How long has it been, if ever, since we've been really honest with God? Whatever our emotion is, how long has it been? Today we're going to come to the communion table. We're going to come and receive Holy Communion. Friends, this is a place where we can come and be honest with God. And I'm not trying to prescribe that everybody has some anger towards God, and you'll bring that this morning. But I encourage you, whatever you are sensing with God today, whatever you want to say to God, that this is the place that you can bring it this morning. You can come and you can pray at the rail. You can go back to your seats and pray. But as you receive Holy Communion, I say to you this morning, God can handle it. It's in bounds with God because God loves us so deeply. God wants us to be honest with him. God wants that relationship with each and every one of us. My prayer for us is that these psalms of laments, these psalms that are often forgotten, often passed over, will give us words that we can connect more deeply in our relationship with God. Amen.